Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Spotty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nestor sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. A former member of Nigeria's national women's basketball team has urged the National Basketball Association of the United States to consider starting a Women's Basketball African League. Pepechu Clement, who represents Kwara State as a board member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, added that Africa is blessed with many female players and their participation had the potential to attract key sponsors. She spoke with reporter Mike Mbonyi on the need to bring out the best of female basketball players in the continent.
NBA is doing a lot to make sure African basketball, grow to a certain height in the world. And this is highly commendable. BAL is one of those, projects that has been introduced to help grow the game of basketball, female basketball, the truth is that the female basketball needs to grow. We need to introduce more games, more competition among the girls to be able to evaluate their performances and possibly project them out there for exposure. And playing the game and playing against teams from Europe, USA is going to boost their performances and give them the confidence they deserve. BAL for female is awesomely, a welcome idea. And I can assure you that our girls are going to love it because they are definitely going to gain from it.
If the NBA approves the Women Basketball Africa League, what are the benefits for female basketball players in Nigeria and Africa?
The benefits, it's going to help develop our female basketball players mentally and skill wise. Our female basketball players will have the opportunity of playing in a more conducive and world-class environment, and fan base will be more, and people will get to watch and love the female basketball, Bigger sponsors will come and grow the female basketball into a desired height in Africa.
Do you think female basketball players from Africa have potentials to make NBA and European teams?
Well, we already have some Nigerians and other Africans doing so well in the European League, and some of them also played college basketball as well as WNBA. And, for the past few years, we have seen Nigeria team, female team, doing Africans proud, and also in the recent tournament in Belarus where the Tigres beat some highly rated European teams, to qualify for the World Championship coming up in Australia. So all we need is support and trust, and with BAL for female, the sky will just be the beginning.
There's Pepechu Clement, a former member of the Tigres, Nigeria's national women's basketball team. And she spoke with reporter Mike Mbonyi on the telephone from Ilorin, Nigeria. Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Staying with basketball, I also spoke with ASL's liaison manager, Abel Ensign. He shared his thoughts on the BAL Elevate program, the most outstanding players and the overall organization of the recently concluded Sahara Conference of the second edition of Basketball African League. Playing the conference ended this week in Dakar, Senegal.
The joining part is amazing because it is what is going to reassure the growth of the game, right? Because the inclusion of the younger players gives them experience fast. You can see Babacar in the Duke team. He's doing very well. The young boy from Slack is doing very well. The other guys didn't have a chance to play. But that's based on different and various reasons. But I think the inclusion of these young boys is great. They get to be around professionals. They get to see how a professional has to manage his day and a competition. See, these kids in the academy are being trained to become the future NBA or European stars, right? But they cannot, no amount of practice can prepare them for what the professional world is. This tournament, which is financed by the same people who are hosting them, the NBA, by putting them in the teams, they see how it is, right? The wake-up calls, the video sessions, the trainings, the games, the listening to the coaches, the adjusting in big games. And tomorrow you got to go back and practice with the same enthusiasm and rebelote, as they say. So they're learning a lot. So when it comes to their demeanor, I think it will affect them positively. Those who are going to take any lessons from here, and they will know that, all right, right now, this is what it takes for me to become as good as this guy.
Are there any players who stood out for you in this competition?
Standing out is hard because I really think that it's still the same key elements that are dominating. You have Sliman from Monastir who's still doing his thing. You have Stoglin that you mentioned. Haruna is playing at a high level. Crawford had a chance to express himself this time because he's not with Monastir. That was loaded last year. In Slack, he had a chance to actually express himself. I think guys who have come from under the radar, guys like Diakite from Duke, the big man, if you remember him, he had a very good game in their win against Reg. Diakite, you have Ali, their point guard. So those two guys, for example, are guys that were not noticed. There's Will Perry, you know Will, from Beira, and his partner, is it Kennedy? The other guy who's on the team, the other scorer, they have done very well for themselves. Mm-hmm. You have Anthony Walker, well, not as impressive when it comes to skills, but he was very spectacular with his dunks and his blocks, the big man in Reg. So those are a couple of guys that I can tell you that, yes, they would have marked. I mean, and yesterday is when Pichu decided to put his mark in the on the tournament, the big man from Reg. Because he was a no-show all along during this tournament. And of course, last but not least, one of my favorite players currently in Africa, I would say. I just love the journey of this kid. He was in our camp in Giants of Africa many years ago. And I've seen him going against the best of the best. And he keeps rising to the occasion. Is Jean-Jacques, the kid with the long name in Reg.
Chibozwa.
Chibozwa is the shortened version, but yes, that kid. This kid is nowhere, but his defense is amazing. I remember him last year when he played for Patriots. He disturbed Omar Abeda. Omar is the number one point guard in Africa. He had to play at the two when that kid guarded him because he has quick hands. He's fearless. In this tournament, he has won, I think, he won the game against us, against Salim. He had a big three to take the team up four. He won the game at the buzzer against Slack on an inbound play. Yesterday against Monastir, if you saw it, he had back-to-back pull-up threes to give Reg the lead and stretch it, if you remember. Like, he's been clutch. He's been clutch. So to me, that would be my cherry on the icing, right? He's showing that hard work mixed with talent can actually take you places. If you ask about what he might have left out or talked about in last year's tournament, well, I just think that the tournament is positive and it allows teams now locally. If you look at the level this year and last year, it's night and day because teams saw that this is serious, this is great, and guys went and got ready. I believe that the next season, next year, will be even much more incredible with teams doing what they need to do to stay strong. I just hope a lot of our African players that are out there in the diaspora will come back and play in the ball, especially with, you know yourself, man. So there are a lot of guys who went to college in the U.S. and whatnot and didn't become pros. I think this is a good platform for them. This is a good level for them to come, showcase their talent. It can still revive their careers. You know, so I call upon all of these guys, join the team, email the BAL League operations office. They'll definitely help you get a team in the BAL, and you come out there and let's make the African basketball game rise.
That was a Sally's liaison manager, Abel Ensign, and he spoke with me from Dakar about the recently concluded Basketball African League Sahara Conference.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Moving on to the English Premier League, gold from Christian Romero and Harry Kane ensure Tottenham secured a 2-0 win against Brighton at the Emirates Stadium, a win that increases Spurs' chances for European qualification next season. Antonio Conte's side are now 7th in the table, while Brighton remain 13th, having secured a single victory in their last 10 outings. Spurs boss Antonio Conte reacted to his team's performance.
I think a good performance. I think that the team is having a good performance. In the last period, I'm seeing great improvement. And I said, you know, before this game, that in the last 5 games, we scored a lot of goals. 5 goals against Everton, Leeds, away, 3 goals against City, 2 goals against United, 2 goals here. And we created many chances now also to improve the final result. It means that we are improving, and we are trying to go in another step, and to try to be very close at the top of the table. It's right to have ambition, and I put ambition to my players, because it's important to have a target. A difficult target, for sure, because to think to reach the fourth place is not simple. It will be very difficult. But at the same time, I know that in this moment we are ready. We are ready to fight in every game.
Brighton boss Graham Potter also shared his thoughts on the match.
Yeah, it was a tough evening. Feel for the players. They're suffering at the moment. I think the effort's there completely. They gave everything. I thought we... It was quite an even game up until they scored, and then I think we made one more mistake for a chance for them, but apart from that, I thought it was quite even. I think we responded really well at half time, pushed them back for the first 10-15 minutes of the second half, and then they scored again off a transition, and then it's very difficult for us. Boys kept going all the way. When you're pushing a team like Tottenham with the counter-attacking players they have and the quality of attacking players, you always leave yourself vulnerable. But I thought the boys, like I said, give everything.
That's Brighton manager Graham Potter following his team's loss against Tottenham in the Premier League. In another fixture played on Tuesday night, second-half goals by Diogo Jota and Roberto Firmino helped Liverpool cruise to a 2-0 win over Arsenal at the Emirates. The win earned the Reds their 9th straight win, and they moved within a point of leaders Manchester City, who they will play against at the Etihad Stadium on April 10th. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp heaped praise on his team.
Coming here and winning against Arsenal is already special. Winning the game like it was makes it even more special, because obviously we had a really good start in the game. I asked for a good start. We had a good start. It was really immediate in the game. Could have scored from great corners. Free headers, stuff like this. Didn't do that. And then it became an open game. Each team had spells of possession. And obviously both teams were patient. We're closing the center, stuff like this, and we were not. Our positioning wasn't good in our possession spells. So we needed more players between the lines, higher up. We had too many behind, or on the wrong side of the ball, if you want. That's the most difficult thing to do, to play against a compact block, to find there the moment when you can pass the ball through anyway. So that was not good enough. And in their spells, they had possession spells as well, and we had to work hard. But we wanted to improve in the second half. We defended higher. We were much more front-footed. And in that moment, the whole game changed, actually.
Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta also reflected on his team's performance.
I don't think that the result probably reflects the performance of the team. But from box to box, I think in many moments we were the better team, and we did everything that we planned, the way the boys... perform, show their courage to play the way we wanted to play, the intensity, the understanding of the game. They really raised the level today, but unfortunately these games are won in the boxes, and that was the critical difference today, not to get anything out of this game, unfortunately.
That's Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta sharing his thoughts after his team lost against Liverpool in the Premier League. The Gunners visit Aston Villa on Saturday, while Liverpool will face Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup on Sunday. Two sides caught up in relegation battle will face each other on Thursday night. Everton will hope to snap their four-game losing streak in the Premier League, and they lock horn with Newcastle United at Goodison Park. The Toffees last suffered a 1-0 defeat at home to Wolves. Here's Everton manager Frank Lampard's thoughts on the match.
Players have to play at a level with a passion, with a level that engages the fans. And then you, as we've seen at Goodison since the time I've been here, in the positive performances, the positive results. And Wolves wasn't a terrible performance. It was easy to get painted in a negative light because it almost feels like things are compounding. And it's not in my time here, it's from before, and it's from maybe seasons before as well sometimes. So it's very important that we work in here, have a clear understanding of it. Against a very difficult Wolves team, make it difficult for everybody. Nobody beats them well, and a small detail lost us the game, which we have to look at. But so tomorrow, I'm just expecting everyone together, fighting. Every game is so important because we have 12 of them left, and they're massive. So at Goodison, we want to be together, and you know, so I can firstly ask the players to deliver on that, to start the game well and engage the fans, because we see when we do that, the fans are absolutely with us, and then we're a force.
The former Chelsea legend also assessed his team's players' return from injury.
Delph, we're hoping the other side of international break. With a bit of luck, we can integrate him into training in that period. Mina's a few weeks away still, at best, to be fair. So that one's slightly parked. He's working very, very hard. So that's it's good to see. Dominic trained lightly yesterday off the back of not feeling great, so... We'll see how he is again this afternoon and then look towards the squad for tomorrow.
Newcastle boss Eddie Howe also talked of injury concerns.
Willock, yes, I think he should be okay. He had an illness but returned to training yesterday. Shelby, we're waiting to see. He hasn't trained yet, so he's a slightly bigger concern. Jolinton is going to be touch and go for this game. I think we have a decision to make whether we look after him with the break we have afterwards or whether we push him back out there, but we'll have to make a late call on him as well. Apart from that, we're okay. Freddy Fernandez hopefully will train today, but he's obviously had quite a layoff and you know, slightly broken rehab. So no, apart from that, I'm trying to rack my brains, but I think we're okay.
The Magpies head coach has been criticised for the club's Saudi ownership, and he had a chance to fire back at his critics.
I understand. I think it's a difficult one for everyone concerned. I understand the questions have to be asked. I've got no problem with that. I think from my perspective, and I've always maintained this, my specialist subject is football. It's what I know. It's what I've trained to do. As soon as I deviate from that into an area where I don't feel qualified to have a huge opinion, I think I go into dangerous ground. So I prefer to stick to what I believe I know. I'm hugely proud to represent this football club and the supporters and the city, and I'm trying to create a team the city can be proud of, and all my energy is going into that and will continue to.
That's Newcastle manager Eddie Howe speaking ahead of his team's clash against Everton in the Premier League.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Moving on to the Champions League, Spanish giants Villarreal booked a place into the Champions League quarterfinals after scoring three late goals to beat Juventus 3-0 at the San Siro. Chelsea also qualified for the Champions League quarterfinals with a 2-1 win over Lille, thanks to goals from American playmaker Christian Pulisic and Cesar Azpilicueta. The Blues advances after securing a 4-1 aggregate win against the Mastiffs. Chelsea were also the defending champions and their fifth consecutive victory ever since their Russian owner Roman Abramovich confirmed his decision to sell the club. Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel hit praise on his side.
Brilliant, brilliant. And so nice that so many fans are here and took the travel and to support the team feels brilliant because we're again in quarterfinals. It's a big step and showed again resilience and mentality and overcame difficulties. We did what was necessary and digged in and got a deserved win. It's difficult here and we did what was needed, so well done to the team.
That's Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel speaking after his team advanced to the Champions League quarterfinals after beating Lille in France. The Blues will face Mills Brown Saturday in the FA Cup quarterfinals tie. Also on Chelsea, the owners of the American baseball team, the Chicago Cubs, said Wednesday that they will make a bid to buy the club. Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich is being forced to sell the club after he was sanctioned by the British government and banned by the Premier League over his links to Russian President Vladimir Putin amid the war in Ukraine. The Ricketts family said it was leading an investment group that will make a formal bid for the reigning world and European champions on Friday. Another consortium weighing a bid features Todd Burley, part owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team, Swiss billionaire Hans-Jörg Weiss, and Jonathan Goldstein, CEO of Kane International. British property developer Nick Candy has also expressed an interest in bidding, while former British Airways chairman Michael Broughton is leading a consortium that is also set to submit a bid.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation. Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In professional golf, the Volsper Championship Tournament will be played this week in Florida. Judge McNeely had this preview for us.
Professional golfer Sam Burns is enjoying the results of all his hard work. The 25-year-old Louisiana State University standout won twice on the PGA Tour last season, including the Valspar Championship here in Palm Harbor, Florida, near Tampa.
It'll be a great week. Be able to kind of look back on those memories and just enjoy it. And obviously hope I play some good golf. It's just another challenge, but, I think pressure is kind of what you make it, so... I'm just looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun, and I think it'll be a great time.
Made even greater this week by a field which features 5 of the top 9 players in the world and 21 of the top 50 in the world golf rankings. Much credit goes to tournament director Tracy West, who was seen on site as recently as 2 weeks ago at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, chatting it up with some big-name last-minute commitments.
And we're really fortunate to have taken the event from just being a pro golf tournament to a happening.
And Tracy is quick to credit the nearly 220 volunteer community leaders who run the tournament, known collectively as the Copperheads.
If we didn't have the Copperheads, this tournament wouldn't be what it is. It wouldn't be the same size, no question. It wouldn't have the notoriety in the community that it does. So it's critical.
the not-for-profit organization, whose general chairman is five-time NFL Pro Bowl selection and Super Bowl champion Rondé Barber of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Having a common goal, bringing your team together, and really finding the motivations and the kind of the direction that it's going to take to get to where we want to go. So there's similarities in that.
Rondé Barber and the Copperheads are devoted to a world-class golf tournament this week while raising funds for area charities. From the Valspar Championship, for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm George McNeely in Palm Harbor, Florida.
Thanks, George and Prince Mr. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. American football quarterback Russell Wilson ended his impressive 10-season run with the Seattle Seahawks after he was officially traded to the Denver Broncos. The Seahawks sent the 33-year-old and a future fourth-round draft pick to the Colorado-based outfit in exchange for three future draft picks: quarterback Drew Locke, defensive end Shelby Harris, and tight end Noah Fant. The Associated Press's Bruce Morton has more.
In terms of a new employer, the Denver Broncos checked off all the right boxes. This from newly acquired quarterback Russell Wilson at his introductory news conference, where he told reporters and teammates he is more than ready to hit the ground running.
We're here for one thing, and it's to win. It's to win at the highest level often, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the journey, and Broncos country, let's ride.
Wilson, obtained in a blockbuster deal with the Seattle Seahawks, said he has already been in extensive contact with his receivers. He added that he intends to earn the trust of the locker room through communication, and the best way to communicate is through a strong work ethic. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Wilson was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, but grew up in Virginia, finalized his deal with the Broncos just a few days after seven-time Super Bowl winner Tom Brady announced that he'd be ending his short-lived retirement to return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for his 23rd season. The legendary quarterback tweeted in a quote, "These past 2 months I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come. But it is now. I love my teammates and I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa." The 44-year-old led the league for passing yards and touchdowns last season. Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. 21-time Grand Slam winner Rafael Nadal clinched a place in the quarterfinals at the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells after edging American Riley Opelka in straight sets to claim his 18th straight win. Nadal now leads the American 2-0 in their ATP Series matchups, with the last clash played on court in Rome last season. The world number 4 also became only the second player since 1990 to start a year with 18 straight victories. Serbian tennis superstar Novak Djokovic started with 41 straight victories in 2011 and 26-0 in 2020. The Spaniard is scheduled to face Australia's Nick Kyrgios, who booked a place in the quarterfinals courtesy of a walkover after Italian Jannik Sinner withdrew due to illness. And that wraps up the March 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Nadia Taha, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.